Hello and welcome to the media call on the need to protect the right to abortion in Virginia. My name is Brandon and I'll be your moderator for today's call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question and answer session. Please note this conference is being recorded. On today's call, we have Tarina Keene from Narell Pro-Choice Virginia, Dr. Sarah Emmersheen, a board-certified obstetrician and gynecologist, Gabby Garcia-Vera from Catholics for Choice, Alicia Huprick, an abortion patient, and Aaron Matson from ReproAction. I will now turn the call over to Tarina Keene, Executive Director of Narell Pro-Choice Virginia. You may begin.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you again for joining us this morning. Again, my name is Tarina Keene, and I am the Executive Director of Narell Pro-Choice Virginia. The Virginia General Assembly is heading back to Richmond next week for veto session, and they will be greeted by abortion patients and providers, activists, and concerned citizens. A coalition of progressive advocates and activists will come together for a speak out for abortion access to remind legislators we are the majority and that we all expect our elected leaders to support Virginians' reproductive freedom. In recent weeks, anti-abortion politicians in Virginia and across the country have launched a stunning disinformation campaign to score political points in an effort to maintain power and control of the General Assembly, which has the ultimate goal to outlaw and criminalize abortion. But a new public poll demonstrates just how much Virginians actually support access to abortion. The overwhelming majority of Virginians support protecting and expanding access to abortion care. The poll by Public Policy Polling conducted last month indicates that by a significant majority, 72% of Virginians believe that a woman should have the ability to make her own personal health care decisions, and they support the right to access abortion safely and legally without interference from politicians. These findings are consistent with years of polling, focus groups, and research here in the Commonwealth and across the country that shows 7 in 10 people support abortion access and want politicians to stay out of these personal, private medical decisions. That is why we will not stand by and allow anti-abortion politicians to get away with their fact-free ideological agenda to deny women access to abortion and criminalize anyone who has an abortion. It's time to set the record straight. The medical community, patients, and Virginians agree. Abortion is legal. It should be accessible. And efforts to deny care harm women. And it is an affront to our democracy and our freedom. The Virginia General Assembly returns to Richmond for veto session on Wednesday, April 3rd. The same anti-abortion politicians who decided to spread hateful rhetoric and lies about abortion care during this past General Assembly session proposed 3 anti-choice, anti-woman budget amendments that actually illustrate their real agenda. Thankfully, Governor Northam has continued to stand up to these anti-choice politicians by rejecting the General Assembly's latest attempt to use the budget to undercut women's access to reproductive health care. Hopefully, these legislators will not attempt to override the will of the people or put women and families in jeopardy simply to gain political points once again. At any rate, reproductive freedom advocates and activists will be there watching, and they will continue to hold politicians accountable who try to inject their ideology into women and families' personal lives and interfere in the doctor-patient relationship. Thank you.
Thank you. Your next speaker for today is Gabby Garcia-Vera, State Program Manager of Catholics for Choice.
Hi. Thank you, everyone, again, for joining us. Like Lisa said, my name is Gabby Garcia-Vera, and I am the State Program Manager at Catholics for Choice. On April 3rd, we will be joining coalition partners from all across Virginia. Catholic for choice firmly believes in the idea of Catholic social justice teaching and the idea of secular pluralism. And that's why we know fundamentally that access to abortion is firmly held by Catholics across this country. We believe in the idea that our conscience, our God-given conscience, is what self-determines our ability to autonomy and our ability to decide. And we know that the Catholic hierarchy does not speak for the millions of Catholics across this country. We know that Virginians everywhere believe in access to abortion, and that Catholics have abortions at the same rate as other Virginians. And 99% of Catholic women across this country and the world use a form of contraception that is banned by the Vatican. We do not believe that the Catholic hierarchy speaks for the millions of Catholics across this country, and we reject the idea that we have conceded the moral high ground in the conversation around access to our rights and our bodies and our bodily autonomy. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker for today is Dr. Sarah Emmershin, a board-certified obstetrician and gynecologist.
Hello. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. My name is Dr. Sarah Emmershin. I've been in obstetrician gynecologist for nearly 40 years, licensed in Virginia since 1983. I am an abortion provider at Falls Church Healthcare, but during my career, I have provided the full range of reproductive health services. I also speak with the experience and authority as an officer of the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists and in the District 4 area, which includes Virginia. Justice William Brennan of the Supreme Court made clear in the majority opinion in Eisenstadt versus Baird when he wrote, "If the right of privacy means anything, it is the right of the individual, married or single, to be free from unwanted government intrusion into matters so fundamentally affecting a person as the decision whether and whether to bear or beget a child." Abortion is a medical procedure. It is not political. And I respect others whose values may not be like mine, may not think that this is just routine medical care. We just heard about how most Catholics agree that the government shouldn't be involved and, in fact, share many of my opinions. And that is why medical care is always patient-centered. It's always focused on the patient, not on a outside ideology, and certainly not by politicians. The patient and her needs are always paramount. What is Virginia doing for its citizens? Virginia's legislature is allowing lay people, people without medical experience, to determine best medical practices. And what are the results? The results are these trap laws, these laws that are supposedly for women's safety, but the reality, the studies, the evidence-based medicine show that, in fact, they create increased dangers for our patients. They increase the price by creating unnecessary regulations. They intrude on personal decisions by requiring forced speech. They intrude on people's ability to care for their families by requiring waiting periods. None of these benefit patients, and they directly impact patients in their personal lives and by actually making the procedure more dangerous. Why? Because our patients, the patients who seek abortion care in Virginia, are overwhelmingly poor or near poor. They often have to delay their care because of their work or because they have to get more money to take care of getting their medical care. And this results in increased risk as the procedure is delayed. Pregnancy is not a safe state for a woman. It's dangerous. And only those who want to bear and beget a child should continue a pregnancy. And those who need to stop a pregnancy for whatever their personal reasons should have safe, affordable access with dignity to abortion care. And most Virginians, as we have learned, agree. Abortion is medical. not political, and the politicians should stay out of it. Thank you very much for giving me the time to share my experience.
Thank you. And your next speaker today is Alicia Huprick, an abortion patient.
Good morning. I'm sharing my story today to represent the faces and real people who have had abortions and who are most affected by the recent inflammatory claims, hateful rhetoric, and downright offensive lies that the anti-choice politicians in Virginia and across America have spread about abortion care to villainize people like myself. I am also representing the overwhelming majority, 72% of Virginians, who believe that we should have the ability to make our own personal reproductive health care decisions and support abortion care without interference from politicians. In the spring of 2015, I was thrilled to find out that I was pregnant with my second child and that it was going to be a girl. Quickly, that excitement turned to immense pain. After we received a devastating diagnosis and were subsequently faced with the most difficult decision of our lives, my daughter was diagnosed with a catastrophic heart condition where the heart weakens and causes heart failure, and was developing a condition where fluid collects in at least two different fetal organ spaces. We learned that there was no medicine to stop or alleviate her symptoms, and there was no surgery to fix it. We sought out every possible option to have our daughter live a healthy life, but it wasn't possible. My husband and I didn't want her to be born into a life where she'd struggle with immeasurable pain from her first breath to her last. When faced with the most difficult circumstances of my life, I can tell you firsthand that I needed access to high-quality, compassionate medical care and advice from expert medical professionals. I did not need further restrictions nor input from any politician. After coming to terms with this devastating diagnosis, we decided to terminate the pregnancy. My decision was based on love for my daughter and the desire to protect her, and I knew that terminating my pregnancy was the only way I could do that. I'm deeply disturbed by the recent hateful language being used by anti-abortion politicians in Virginia who are attempting to limit access to abortion for women like me facing devastating and complex medical circumstances. I believe that every woman and family should have access to compassionate reproductive health care and make decisions that are best for them in consultation with their medical professionals. I believe all Virginians deserve to be treated with dignity, respect, and love in their most vulnerable moments. And I am thankful to the medical professionals who treated me with compassion when I needed it most. I'm sharing my story because I know firsthand that medical professionals, not politicians, are best equipped to help women and their families make these deeply personal and private decisions. Every Virginian and American deserves to be treated with dignity and compassion. Thank you for listening to my story this morning.
Thank you. Our next speaker today is Erin Madsen, co-founder and co-director of ReproAction.
Thank you to Alicia for sharing her painful and difficult story. I am Erin Madsen, co-founder and co-director of ReproAction, and I believe it is a radical act each time a woman opens her mouth and tells the truth about her life. ReproAction stands in unequivocal support of all people who have abortions for all reasons and at all stages of pregnancy. Abortion is often framed as a political issue when it is also a public health issue and an indivisible plank in the struggle for gender equality. Access to abortion means that abortion is affordable, accessible in the communities where Virginians live, and not burdened by man-made obstacle courses created by the same politicians who just tanked the Equal Rights Amendment this session in Richmond. This is no accident. Opposition to abortion is, at its core, opposition to the full and equal participation of women in public life. What we are fighting about is sexism. This session, anti-abortion Virginia politicians have engaged in inflammatory, bad faith, and untrue attacks against Virginians who have abortions. They have done so as a smokescreen to distract from their true agenda, which is to push abortion out of reach to shut down clinics that provide compassionate and high-quality care, and to throw women and abortion providers in jail. Repro Action is proud to lead a Stop Prosecuting Abortion campaign that calls for an end to anti-abortion policies that are being used by prosecutors to punish women who have abortions and miscarriages. Sadly, Virginia is a ground zero for pregnancy-related prosecutions in the United States. In the past year alone, Michelle Roberts of Chesterfield faced felony charges for self-managing her own abortion before the charges were dropped, and Catherine Dellis was pardoned by Governor Northam after being convicted for having a miscarriage at home. Make no mistake, the logical consequence of so-called pro-life policy is sending people, and especially poor women and women of color, to jail. The criminal justice system should never get involved in pregnancy outcomes, and these prosecutions never should have happened in Virginia. Let's not forget that it was Donald Trump who said, quote, there must be some form of punishment, unquote, for women who have abortion. However, the overwhelming majority of Virginians, that's 72% of Virginians, support reproductive rights. We represent Virginians. We believe that people should have the ability to make their own health care decisions, and we support the right to access abortion without interference from politicians who don't believe in equality for women. That's why Repro Action is proud to join with our colleagues from NARAL Pro-Choice Virginia and Catholics for Choice to stand up for all Virginians and speak out and speak up for abortion access in Richmond on April 3rd. Politicians should take note. We are the majority, and we demand that they do the right thing and increase access to reproductive health care. Is the Virginia General Assembly with Virginia women and families or against them? Thank you.
Thank you. We will now begin the question. I'm sorry. Yes, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you'd like to be removed from the queue, please press the pound sign or the hash key. There may be a delay before the first question is announced. If you're on a speakerphone, please pick up your handset first before dialing the numbers. Also, we ask that you please indicate which speaker your question is being directed to when asking your question. Once again, if you do have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We have a participant on the line who did not leave a name. If you could state your name and your question and who it's being directed to, we'd appreciate it.
This is Sarah McCam, and I did leave my name, but so I don't know if you're referring to me, but...
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. It must not have gotten picked up. Anyway, Sarah McCammon with NPR. This is for Ms. Keene. I apologize. I missed the very first part of the call. I got pulled into something else and had to join late. But I was wondering if you could just sort of tick through a little bit more the policy debates or what are you expecting to come up in the veto session that you're most focused on?
Well, there were three budget amendments that were put forth by Republicans this, that actually had not made it out of conference committee in recent sessions. This year they did. But we just got word, I think it was yesterday, that the governor has struck the language out of the budget for those amendments. So our hope is that they won't bring these back up. But the two that we were most concerned about, and one in particular that we have actually fought against since 2010 successfully, is a proposed budget amendment that would cut Virginia state funding for low-income families to access abortion care in the event of a totally incapacitating fetal anomaly. We believe that this is cruel. It's purely political. It actually cuts off access to needed abortion care for the most vulnerable women and families in the Commonwealth. We know that these are very rare instances. They don't cost the taxpayers any money at all. This is a political attack on these vulnerable Virginians. But the governor did take that out of the budget. And the second budget amendment that we were concerned about actually is around contraception. There is a pilot program around LARCs, long-acting reversible contraceptions. And this actually launched in October, the pilot program. It makes sure that women who need access to LARCs, they are the most effective forms of birth control, but they're expensive. But this was this is money, federal money coming down that the governor had advocated for several years and finally got it in the 2018 budget. There was a budget amendment that basically guts the program that was introduced by Senator Siobhan Dunavant of Henrico. That has also been taken out of the budget by the governor. Again, we hope that it doesn't come back.
Okay. I mean, do you expect? Sorry, I'm working from home. do you expect the third trimester late term abortion debate to resurface in any form?
I would certainly hope not, because it the thing is that when abortion later in pregnancy occurs, it's almost exclusively because of a woman's health or life is in danger, or the pregnancy is no longer viable. This is not the argument that opponents of abortion should be having. They're actually jeopardizing women's lives and their health. They are actually putting legislators in harm's way as well. We've seen a ridiculous level of disinformation. I'm not using misinformation. I'm using disinformation and lies. The rhetoric around this has actually put legislators who support reproductive freedom in harm's way as well. This has nothing to do with medical reality or medical care. And we also know from our polling that 70% of Virginians think a woman should be able to make the decision to end a pregnancy that endangers her life or her health. Full stop.
Thank you. Sorry about that. I have a contractor in my house, so multitasking, but thank you.
And from Fox, we have Anna North. Please go ahead.
Hi, I'm wondering, you mentioned that you're hoping that Republicans don't choose to bring these budget amendments back up. How likely do you think it is that they will try to bring them back up? Do they have the votes to override the governor's veto? My apologies, I'm not quite sure how that structure works in Virginia.
Mm-hmm. Well, because this is a budget, it's not actually a veto. He can just strike the language, so they need a simple majority. Right now, anti-abortion legislators are in control of both the House and the state Senate by just two seats on each side. We are hoping that they decide not to bring this up. I am not holding my breath on that. This seems to be the fight that they want to have for some reason. But again, our polling, and not just this recent polling, but you know, years and years and years have shown us that the vast majority of Virginians support access to safe, legal, affordable abortion care. And this is an election year. It's a very important election year that will basically decide who controls the General Assembly. And this is not an issue that they will win on. And we've proven that over the last few election cycles. But not only that, beyond politics, this is about medical care. This is about women being able to control their reproductive destinies and be able to make the decisions in consultation with their medical providers that are best for themselves and their families. This is not a time for politicians to be injecting their ideology. And I think that in the end, voters will hold them accountable if they choose to continue this fight.
Got it. Thank you.
Once again, if you do have a question, please press star 1. I'm standing by for any further questions. Okay, looks like no further questions at the moment. Would anyone like to make any final remarks?
Thank you all so much for joining us this morning, and please follow up if you have any further questions.
Okay, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's conference. Thank you for joining.
Thank you.
You may now disconnect.